chapter 1. I believe this will fit with what the Lord's kind of doing tonight. We started this morning. They say when you get old, you'll start reaching for stuff that ain't there. I just reached up for my glasses. Amen. See what y'all are doing to me? All right. But Luke chapter 1, we started this morning. Everybody minded God? Everybody minded the Lord? We just don't want to hear people talk. We want people to mind the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 I tell you, that's what it gets to. Not, you don't want to miss it. Not just because there's some places I go, I don't want to miss. I think something funny is going to happen. But around here, it's just you never know what the Lord might do. And that there's an anticipation. I appreciate that. There's some places I go and preach, and I'm honored to go. When I make a statement that's critical about somewhere I go, please don't mean that the wrong way. But if there's no other place. This week, I'm probably preaching at one of my favorite churches to go to, Gordon Heights. It's on the list, along with Brother Chisholm's, Brother Shelton's, probably some of my favorite places to go. But there's nowhere else I'd rather be than in my pulpit and with my people. And I forgot what I was going to say, but I love the church, and I love what God put. There's an anticipation. What I say, and there's a lot of places I go, and there's no anticipation. It's just time to preach, time to sing, and go home. But I believe we have a group of people, and I'm not saying everybody's 100% in. It's like I was talking about in Sunday school. But for the most part, it's a group of people that want something for the Lord, want to be fed. And I thank God for that. Everybody mind the Lord? Amen. Don't bust. We don't like the carpet. We're going to replace it, but we like the pews. They're pretty nice. Don't bust and get all over our pews, all right? Amen. I used to say don't bust. We like the carpet. And all the people that clean the church said, no, preacher, we don't like the carpet. Amen. We want new carpets. But we talked this morning about what will you give the Lord for Christmas. And I understand Jesus was not born on December 25th. I get that. I understand that. And I understand, Brother McNeese says, Christmas is my favorite Roman Catholic holiday. I understand that it's a lot of commercialism, a lot of Catholicism. But I just like the fact, you can pull me down, Brother Rob, and be fine. I just like the fact that one day out of the year, or at least 2 days if you count Easter, they got to admit that there was a man named Jesus Christ. And the world has to look at it. I know they do it for all the wrong reasons, but I'm glad that we have that. And so we've been talking, we talked about that this morning. We talked about the wise men, how they brought their possessions to the Lord. Tonight, just for a very brief few moments, I'm setting my timer. I'm going to be mindful of your time. But in Luke chapter 1, I want to look at Mary tonight. What did Mary give to the Lord for Christmas? The Bible said in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's a future promise. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. I need windshield wiper blades for my eyes. Amen. That's a good problem to have. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. That's John the Baptist, his mom, in verse 36. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Here's what, watch it now. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This morning I talked to you about the wise men, how they gave their possession. Tonight I want to talk to you very briefly about Mary. Mary gave her person to the Lord. Mary gave her body to the Lord. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, did you ever thought about this? God wants your body. Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's." According to 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul told that church, "Now ye are the body of Christ." And so I thought about this. You know, the only body that the Lord Jesus Christ has on earth is my body and your body, physical body. I understand the body of Christ, but the only body he has on earth is my body and your body if you're saved. You realize he has no hands but my hands. He has no feet but my feet. He has no mouth but my mouth. In fact, Paul said, "I'm an ambassador for Christ." And since we're saved by the grace of God and Christ lives in us, the Spirit of God lives in us, we ought to present our bodies to the Lord. I thought about the declaration that was stated in verse 26 through verse 31. That angel comes to Mary. It was personal, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. I say, I need an amen real quick right here. Don't make me take 20 minutes. She was a virgin. She'd never known a man. The Lord Jesus was virgin born. But the principle I see here is when God wanted to use Mary's body, he didn't go to somebody down the road. He came to her personally. Every individual that God saves, he wants to use that individual's life for his glory and for his honor. It was not only personal, it was peaceful. Verse 28 through 30, we find that she was troubled when the angel spoke to her, but he spoke peace unto her and said, "Fear not." He said, "Hail, thou highly favored, and the Lord is with thee." And then it was also purposeful. Watch this now. Verse 31, you know why that angel came to Mary? It was to inform her about a second birth that was about to take place in her life. And Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." I'm well on April 9th, 1997. I got born again and saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so the declaration that was stated, but then there was a description of the Savior in verses 31 through 33. I'm headed to one statement, and I wish I could say the one statement, but you know that's not how it works. I got to get you to that one statement. He begins to describe to her about the one who wants to use her body. Think about this, Mr. Preacher. What are you saying, use her body? We understand the Lord Jesus used the Virgin Mary's body as the avenue to be birthed into this world. So God, watch it now, God used her body to bring Jesus to the world. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, he begins to describe the Savior. He gave us his name in verse 31. I can preach on that. I probably will later. It is a supreme name, all capital letters, a salvation's name. He talks about his notoriety in verse 32 and verse 33, how he's going to be great. His father's going to give him the throne of David. That's all going to be that future millennial reign and that thousand-year reign. I'm looking forward to that. Thank God I'll be among that crowd, praise God. He told all those wonderful things about the Lord Jesus. Why wouldn't she want God to use her body to bring Jesus to others? Can I say this? Jesus is still wonderful. And why are we arguing with God about him wanting to use our bodies to bring others to Jesus? Or to bring Jesus to others, rather. Then there is the difference that is sure. You know, when that baby moved on the inside, when the Lord was conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost, you know some things changed? Made a difference in her affections. Verse 38, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Her affections were on that child. It changed her appearance. She is expecting a child. So on the outside, you could tell something was different. You could tell someone had moved in on the inside. Can I say this? When the Lord Jesus Christ moves in on the inside, there ought to be an outward, visible difference. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Can anybody see Jesus in you? Changed her appearance. It changed her activities. All you ladies that had a baby, you know, when you found out you were in the motherly way, there are some things you couldn't do no more.
For my wife, we had a trip planned to Dollywood. Found out she's expecting Daxon. We still ain't been to Dollywood. What's the point of going to Dollywood? You're expecting. You can't ride them roller coasters. There's some things. You know why she couldn't do that? Because she had someone else living on the inside of her. Hey, when the Holy Spirit of God moves on the inside of you, there's some things you just can't do no more. Because if you did, it hurt that one living on the inside of you. Hey, when you got saved, you can't do some things. It'll harm that one that lives within you. Changed her associates. You know what she did? She went and hung out with somebody else who had a miraculous birth. Went and seen Elizabeth. Like being around God's people. It changed her attitude. You know what that? You know, she's wondering how in the world is this going to happen? And that angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Changed her adoration. You read verses 45 through verse 56. She had a song and a testimony for the Lord. But this is what I want to get to. And I'm at 7 minutes. This could be the shortest sermon I've ever preached here. The delighted submission. Verse 38 was our text verse. And Mary said, well, I just don't like how all that was said, and I just don't know if I'm going to be all right with this. No, she didn't argue. You know what she said? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. She told that angel, okay, I'll let you use me. You know God wants to use you. He wants to use your life. And your body. You realize I can't preach without my body? I use my mouth. He wants to use your life. You can't sing without your mouth. You can't give a testimony or witness to somebody without your mouth. God wants to use your body, and God wants to use everyone's life. But why are you resisting? There's so many people. God, you're saved by the grace of God, and God wants to use you. But you resist. Every time he tries to do something in your life, you resist, you pull back. Every time he tries to work in an area of your life, you resist and pull back. Oh man, let's have that attitude of Mary. She said, be it unto me. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know what she gave the Lord? She didn't give the Lord a Tonka truck for Christmas. She didn't give him a Tundra truck for Christmas. She just gave herself. You know what God wants? He wants you. You know, God didn't want Isaac in Genesis 22. He wasn't after Isaac. He's after Abraham. And Isaac was between him and Abraham. I old preacher years ago, he's disqualified now. I love to hear him preach. He had a little message. He preached on God don't want Isaac. He just wants you. But the reason he went through Isaac is because Isaac could have been something that hindered him from having Abraham. He wants to use your life. You know, everybody wants to be used until they get used. You know what? I thought about this. I love baseball. I've used this illustration. I love ball. And you can't play baseball without a ball glove. But you know that ball glove? It can't do anything on its own. You lay that thing on the bench, it ain't going to catch the ball. But you put somebody's hand in it. It can do what it was designed to do. If I don't have God's hand working in my life, I'm useless. You're useless if we don't have his touch and his hand. She was submitted to the will of God, to the word of God, and to the way of God. Hey, she was submitted in spite of the reproach. It was not right for a woman to be with child without being married. You think about the reproach. Not everybody, I mean, Mary knew he was virgin born. But you think everybody down in town knew that? The reproach, the ridicule. They accused the Lord Jesus in John 8 of being born of fornication. Can you imagine that wedding ceremony, Mary and Joseph? I wonder how many showed up to that wedding ceremony. You see Mary in the motherly way. Joseph's probably the father. Or she's been unfaithful to him. Probably didn't have much response at their wedding ceremony. But I'll tell you three that showed up. I guarantee you God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was attending that wedding ceremony. Hey, in spite of the rejection, Luke 2, she's ready to have the baby, and they said, you know what they said? Can't come in here. We ain't got no room for you. And you decide to use your life, submit your life to the will of God, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to suffer reproach, and you'll probably be rejected by this world. Not probably, you will be. And you're going to be rejected in some circles, even in religious circles. But she didn't say, well, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Or I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I don't want, you know what? We ought to thank God that Mary didn't rebel. But because Mary was submitted to the will of God, Jesus was born and died and was buried and rose again for our justification. You see, because she submitted her body to the Lord, salvation was brought to the world. We don't worship Mary. Mary had to get born again too. She was just the body that God used. God's people, but you know, all that reproach and all that ridicule went away when she saw his face. When Mary delivered baby Jesus and Joseph wrapped him up in them swaddling clothes and handed him to her, she didn't care about what everybody in town said. She had him. And I tell you, they ridicule and they mock the church and they're trying to mandate against the church. It ain't over, church. There's going to be more stuff come against the church. But we've not been through what our brothers and sisters have across the world. But I tell you, it will be worth it when we see him. See his face. All the ridicule, all the reproach, all the rejection, all the family members looking at you strange because you won't take your kids around drinking and you won't take your kids around cussing and because you have standards and you won't go to the family reunion on Sundays because you take your family to the house of God and they ridicule you and mock you and they don't understand everybody at work that calls you a holy roller because you try to live for God and you don't tell the dirty, all that stuff when you see him. The songwriter said, the things of this world will go strangely dim. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. I'll give you this and I'm done. The Bible says, I quoted it, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is to do? An ambassador represents his country on a foreign soul. He is sent by his home country to another country to represent his home. How well we represent the Lord Jesus. Can anybody see Jesus in you? By the way, what I love about this, our ambassadors, before they drop the big bomb, they always pull our ambassadors out. And I'm glad before the big bombs drop, we're getting pulled out of here, praise God. But can anybody, this is my burden, people testified about this. Can anybody see Jesus in you? I finishing up the day my notes and was pulling some things together and I got to thinking about people that I saw Jesus in. I'm not talking about physically seeing him, but you could tell they love God. They's a Christian. They love the Lord. I thought of Johnny Morton. Thought the preacher at my daddy's church that started the church for years, pastored it, and God blessed it. God used him. Ain't that a beautiful sound? Ain't that a wonderful sound? I like it. I tell his parents, don't ever apologize for that. That's a good sound. Amen. It's a good sound. I think about Brother Clyde Hathcock at my dad's church, went home to be the Lord earlier this year. Just a faithful man. Served God. Saw Jesus in him. You think about people that you've seen Jesus in that made an influence in your life. Brother Michael, no doubt your grandpa. A faithful preacher over 50 years plus. No doubt, as not just being a grandchild, being a church member, you saw Jesus in him. I think of you've testified about people in your life you saw Jesus in, made a difference. Brother Steve, you talked about B.B. Caldwell and your mama, you saw Jesus in them. Saw Jesus. Brother Bobby Leonard, preacher, Jack Holden, saw Jesus in him. Saw Jesus in him. Talk about Brother Males, preaching the night you got born again, Miss Michelle, or got under conviction, got saved, saw Jesus in him. Preacher Bill Baugus, saw Jesus in him, Miss Vonda. Anybody seeing Jesus in your life? Is anybody seeing the Lord in your life? I tell you, I hear some men preach and get around them, and you preachers understand, you're like, I wish I could do it like that. You saw Jesus in them. I got to be careful, I'm online, but I think of Keith and standing at that standing at a casket with him and saw the grace of God just pouring. It ain't easy. But I saw Jesus in that man's life. I wonder if anybody can see Jesus in my life. I want him to. This little fella has took up with me like crazy. I have no idea why. Hey, bud. He loves his preacher. You want to come here? Yeah. You want some limelight? This little boy loves me. He loves me because I show him Mickey Mouse and Baby Shark. But you know what I want this little boy to be able to do? I want him, hey, and I love that these little kids, they like being around me. Hey, he went down now. He like, ooh, early escape. But you know what I love? I want these little kids, little Harper, and little Grayson and Uriah, and even these teenagers now, which I remember when they come, Mike, were Kelsey, I think, was probably Daxon size when y'all came. I feel old. And you look old, but anyway. He was Sidler? Maybe, I don't know, maybe in Sidler's age. But I'd love for these kids to say, you know, I saw Jesus in my preacher. And I know as parents, we want our kids to say that they saw Jesus in us. Yeah. He's not wanting because he sees Jesus in me. He's wanting because he'll run around. But the best thing we can do is to live a life where Jesus lives through us. Give you a verse and I'm done. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Come here. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said that life I'm living for the Lord, he's living through me. You allowing God to live that life through you? I want these little ones and even these older ones. Preacher wasn't perfect. Preacher about half crazy. Yes, amen to that. But he loved the Lord and he loved me. And I even want you old people. 29 and up is old. And the next year I'll go 30 and up is old. Amen. Yeah, that's funny, ain't it? But I want to see Jesus in me. Mary gave her body to the Lord. I done started something. Mary gave her body to the Lord. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. She's going to play a verse of invitation. Maybe God spoke in your heart.